shout out with our new technology that we're live streaming. So hello to everybody else who's out there in the universe. My name is Christina Scully. I'm Vice President of Global Quality and Manufacturing Supply Chain at Bristol-Myers Squibb. I'm going to be your MC today, introducing your speaker. And I'm really, really proud to be here today representing Bristol-Myers Squibb. I want to give a call out to our Be Now group, our Bristol-Myers Squibb network of women, who made it possible for me to be here. And we went from 5 people at this conference last year to over 50 here. And we're really, really looking forward to supporting this conference in the years to come and making it even bigger. Right now going to introduce you to our speaker to talk about feedback, our favorite topic. So I'm going to introduce an amazing woman, Tamara Chandler. She has over 30 years experience. She's a female entrepreneur. She started her own management consulting company. She's an author of 2 books and a professional speaker. And I'd like you to give a warm welcome to Tamara Chandler.
Yes. Well, you know, some days things just don't go right, and this morning seems to be one of those. The slides are not working right now, so AV is over there working on fixing that, so we're just going to kind of play this loose. We'll just get going. So feedback. If I walked up to anybody here and said, hey, I've got some feedback for you, what's your initial reaction? Right? Most of us cannot help, but as soon as someone says, hey, I've got some feedback for you, our blood pressure goes up, our tensions rise. My friend Jane, hopefully you'll get to see her in the video, says, shields up, right? Because you're getting ready for what's coming at you. And here's the thing, feedback has a branding problem. It has a badass branding problem. It has a horrible brand, and we all collectively over the centuries have built that bad brand one horrible, uncomfortable, pokey experience at a time. And I'm talking about when someone comes up to you and offers you a piece of feedback in the exact wrong moment. I'm talking about when someone comes up and wants to blame and shame you for something that they're mad about. I'm talking about that person that just saves it up till they're just so angry and then they dump a big load at your feet, right? And how about the, hey, that person tells that person who tells that person who finally tells you something that the first person wanted you to know? All of these are scenarios that create this bad brand. And in addition to that, it's not just those who are extending feedback. It's when we're getting it, when we stomp off in a huff or we shut down or we just refuse to listen. So we've created this bad brand of feedback. Now, I wrote my first book, which is called How Performance Management is Killing Performance and What to Do About It. And when I wrote that first book, I swear to you, this is what I did. In one of the last edits of that book, I went through and started whacking out the word feedback everywhere I could. I put in words like perspectives, insights, point of view. I tried to come up with every possible other word for feedback that I could. I tried to eradicate the word because I knew it had such a bad brand. But then as I've been out doing work with my clients in the space of performance management, I realized we cannot eradicate this word. It is in our ethos. It's in our environment. We say it. Start tracking how many times a day you say the word feedback. It's a lot. And when you start tuning into it, you realize that we can't eradicate feedback. We have to fix feedback. We have to fix it. And so that's what my colleague, Laura Graylish, and I set out to do, who wrote the book, Feedback and Other Dirty Words, Why We Fear It, How to Fix It. Any luck yet? Maybe. So we set out to fix it. Well, why should we fix feedback? Any thoughts why we should fix feedback? It's important. It's constructive. It's how we grow, right? What else?
It doesn't have to be scary.
It doesn't have to be scary, right? It doesn't have to be negative. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I talk about all the time that there's this word that floats. It's this phantom word that floats in front of feedback, which is negative. And as soon as someone says it, our brain goes, ooh, negative, negative, bad, 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 right? And so that's why we need to fix feedback. So what we did was we set out to actually create a new definition of feedback. So our definition of feedback, which we hope everybody adopts, is this idea of clear and specific information sought or extended with the sole intention of helping individuals, relationships, or groups improve, thrive, or grow. So let me say that again. Clear and specific information sought or extended with the sole intention of helping individuals, groups, or relationships thrive, grow, or improve. And we like to say, if you're getting ready to lay some feedback on somebody, if it's not intended to help them improve, thrive, or grow, then check yourself before you wreck yourself, because that is going to create yet one more bad experience of feedback for someone that you didn't intend. Okay, so that is what we're trying to do, is we're trying to fix this brand of feedback. And it is important, just like all of you said, it's important for a number of reasons. So how many of you, are there people out there that own their own business, run their own business, own their own companies? Yeah, we've got some. So if you're a business owner or a leader in a business, and you're trying to improve results, there's interesting data that came out in late 2018 that showed that entities, enterprises, organizations that had a culture of feedback, a strong culture of feedback, and we'll talk later about what we think that means, produced three times the results those that did not. And I'm talking about profit, revenue, engagement, all those top scores that we all measure in our enterprise. If you have a culture of feedback, your company will perform better. Secondly, how many of you are leaders? How many of you lead teams or people? Pretty much almost everybody in the room. Here's my little tip for you. If you're trying to improve your value as a leader, if you're trying to improve the way your team sees you as a leader, the number one thing you can do is improve the way you engage in feedback. It is highly correlated to how leaders are perceived. If you ask for feedback, you're going to be perceived higher. If you open the conversation and allow for feedback amongst your group and intend to what people shared with you, you will be scored as a higher leader, significantly higher. And your engagement scores, if all of you are part of a process where they measure engagement, your engagement scores will go up. It's my little gift to you. Go improve your leadership scores. Your people will love you for it. And then there's this whole point of people, and which is what a lot of you talked about, this idea of how do we improve, how do we grow, how do we thrive. So there's a study that I love that looks at these two ideas of vitality and learning. And it says when we have vitality and learning, we thrive as people. And thrive at people literally means, translates into, we have fewer sick days, we have higher productivity, we're more satisfied at work. So vitality and learning. Vitality is about feeling connected. It's about I see you and what you're doing here matters. And what better way to help someone understand that than through feedback? I see you every day. I see the improvements you're making. I see the things that you're bringing to the table. Vitality. Learning, that's obvious, right? Learning is about growth. It's about improving our skills. It's about taking on new things. Well, we can't learn if we aren't getting feedback and greater insights along the way. So again, if you want to help your people thrive, feedback, vitality, and learning. And then the final bit is really, for me, the most important. It's about the heart. So I want you to take a moment and just reflect on something somebody told you that changed your life. How many of you, take a minute, I'll let you think about it. How many of you can think of something that somebody told you some point that changed your life? Anybody? Okay. Oh, not as many. But I found when you go out and you start talking to people and you start asking them about feedback moments that were meaningful, feedback moments that were compelling, it's usually somebody that took the time, that took the care to share something with you that maybe was a little hard to take it initially, or maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was something about seeing yourself in a different light that you'd just never seen before. But that type of feedback truly can change the course of where you're headed. So let me tell you a little story of my experience like that. So I was at a company called Hitachi Consulting. I had this weird role. I was the chief people officer, and I was the head of strategy. And those two things sort of collided because we were out there trying to figure out, as this little fledgling consulting company, how we were going to compete with the big guys. And I had this idea that we were going to go to market with these key themes. And we started doing research on what should those themes be that we were in the market, that we were going to aggregate all of our services towards these themes. And we had a bunch of them, and one of them that we had was a theme that at the time I was calling workforce transformation. And I had sort of given these themes to different leaders and said, hey, I want you to do, you know, I kind of gave them the format, go do this research, come back, talk about what we should be doing in this area. And in the workforce transformation area, I kept that one for myself because I was the chief people officer. I was fascinated by the topic. And I had recruited some of my friends to help me out with it. And one day, we're sitting at the end of a meeting, and my colleague, Beth, she's across the table, and she's doing what she does, throwing all her stuff in her bag, getting ready to leave. And Beth and I had worked together for years. And just in the moment, Beth looks up, and she goes, you know, Tamara, I haven't seen you this excited about something in ages. And then she finishes throwing her stuff in her bag and puts it on her shoulder. She walks away. And I sat there and thought, wow, that was an interesting comment. And then the week later, I was at the American Airlines Training Center because that's where we trained our people. And I had this guy I loved that used to come in and do training for our new managers. And he was talking about your life and your career and your experiences. And he started talking about things that made me go back to that comment that Beth made. And I started thinking, wow, I haven't been that excited about something in ages. And so then I started checking it out with some of my colleagues. I was like, hey, have you seen me kind of animated about this stuff? And they're like, oh, yeah. You kind of are grooving on this stuff. Well, long story short, I presented all of those themes to our vice presidents at Hitachi. They accepted 6 of the 8. One they did not accept was workforce transformation. They said, no, we're not interested in that. That night, I went to dinner with the CEO, who was a good friend of mine, and I sat across the table. I said, Michael, I quit. And he's like, what? I said, I quit. I'm going to go do that. Because Beth's one little tiny piece of feedback changed my life. So think about when those types of things might change your life, or when you might change somebody else's life with just that one little nugget of feedback. Okay? So, I have no idea where I am in my slides right now. Let me flip ahead and kind of see where we are. Oh, you know, let's talk about this thing that gets in our way. What do you think the number one thing that gets in the way of good feedback? Ego. Ego's good, but there's something bigger. Conflict. All of that results in what?
Fear.
Fear is the big hairy monster that is in our way. And if we're going to fix feedback, we need to reduce the fear and we need to up the trust. And interestingly, they're like a scale. Once we bring the fear down, we can bring the trust up. So fear. What is it we really fear? Why do we fear it? Well, some of our reactions to feedback, so like when I said to you, if I come to you and say, hey, you know, I've got some feedback for you, and you jump back and put your shield up like my friend Jane, you're doing that because it's instinct. It's instinct. It's that reptilian brain. You know what I'm talking about? That one that shows up and makes us act like we don't want to act, and later we go, oh, my God, who was that? That reptilian brain, right? Because when that puppy kicks in, our wise brain shuts down. And that's what happens because we have learned through our experiences and through our life that feedback generates challenges, and so we've learned to fear it. And so as soon as someone says that, it triggers our fear response. So part of what we have to do is learn how to manage the fear, and in a few minutes we're going to practice some of that. The other thing is when we were doing this book, Laura and I really tried to get clear on, well, what is it that we fear? What is it that is so important to us that triggers this type of reaction? Any idea? Rejection, yeah. We, failure, right? We are social beings. We want to be accepted. We want to be part of something. We fear isolation. We fear being left out. So the thing that feedback does is it triggers our response to question, our connection. It questions our importance. It questions, you know, are we going to be isolated or ostracized through this process? So we have these things going on between this fear and this fear of isolation. And then we have this thing called we're just positively negative, is what I have to say. We're positively negative. So negative information travels faster in our brain than positive information. Negative information has a half-life that's a billion times longer than it is for positive information. We will grab on to positive or to negative, and we will weigh it more heavily than we will positive information. It's just the way we're conditioned. Did you know even in the English language, we have more descriptor words that are negative than we have positive? We just are positively negative. So that ties into this whole thing, because we have this fear of isolation, we have this instinct, and then we take anything we hear and we make it way bigger than it actually is. And I had this experience last night. I was actually kind of trying to go to sleep last night. I'm from Seattle, so, you know, trying to go to sleep. And I was having a whole conversation in my head with myself. So last night, I had, at 8 o'clock, I did a podcast with Celeste. Has anyone listened to Celeste's podcast? They're amazing. I do a lot of podcasts. She's really good, so I tell you, go listen to her podcast. So anyway, it's 8 o'clock at night. I'm exhausted. I've had like a couple of crazy weeks, so I'm totally exhausted. I'm sitting there at 8 o'clock with Celeste, and we're walking. We're having this great conversation. And then she asked me like the most basic question. She asked me, well, tell me about your connect model in the book, which is the conversation model that we share, and I'll talk about that a little bit more in a minute. And at that moment, my mind went completely blank. I could not remember what the C stood for. I sat there staring, and she knew I was like, oh, you know, trying to come up with what that meant. It's horribly embarrassing, right? And so we had the conversation went on. So we talked for, I don't know, 50 minutes. We had 47 minutes of great conversation. I had 3 minutes where I just completely fumbled the ball. She told me, don't worry, we'll just cut it out. It's no big deal. It happens all the time. Which I should have at that point just let it go and walked away, right? But of course, did I? No. I went back to my room. I sat there and thought, oh my God, I'm so embarrassed. I can't believe I did that. What will Laura say? She'll be so embarrassed. She'll be like, I'm never sending you out there alone again. Like I had all these things running through my head. And so I really had to sit as I was sleeping and have the same conversation with me. It's like, okay, what percentage of that conversation was positive versus negative? Of all the podcasts I've done, does that one little moment really matter? Right? Of all the things, I literally had to do it because we have to manage that negativity and we have to let it go. And it takes practice to let that stuff go. Okay? Oh gosh, my computer's now disappeared. No, well, it's okay. You go, girl. You do what you need to do. Okay, so I'm still totally winging it. We'll see where this goes. thanks. So, thank you. This will not be a negative. This will be a positive, right? Right. So the last thing that gets in our way is this idea of trying to prove ourselves. And again, it's tied to ego. Who said ego up here? Yes, it's tied to ego. We are constantly trying to prove ourselves, right? Because we want to be accepted, because we want people to think we're good, because of all those things. And you start to get older, start to get my age, you get a little less like you care. But when you're younger, you really care a lot, right? And I always say, you know, I can think of times where I was trying to prove myself, where I was just a total ass. Can you think of times where you were trying to prove yourself and you look back and you're going like, oh my God, that person was embarrassing. And so, you know, we need to really, what we call is flip the switch. We need to flip the switch from trying to prove something to trying to improve. And if we can flip the switch from prove to improve, and I don't care if you're receiving feedback, if you're extending feedback, because sometimes when we're in our worst is when we're telling something because we're trying to prove we're right. We're trying to prove we're right. We're not trying to improve that person's experience, right? So we need to really flip the switch from prove to improve. And if we could manage the fear, let go of that fear of isolation, try to be a little more positive and a little less negative, and flip that switch from prove to improve, I think we can bring our fear quotient way, way down. But the one way we do when we're trying to manage the fear is we have to actually get, oh my gosh, look at that. Ta-da! We have to get out of our heads and into our... Let me see. I'm going to try to... Yeah, so here's fear. Anybody read Amy Edmondson's book? It's a killer book from Harvard about positive psychological safety. But she says that fear is one of the biggest capacity killers at work, and it truly is. Like, if you want to increase your performance, bring down the fear. So we talked about this, instincts, isolation, positive, negative. But now what we're going to do is we're going to practice bringing down the fear, because part of it is about getting out of our brains and back into our bodies. And that's one way that we can do this. So here's what I want. Oh, gosh, where am I? I'm missing a slide. Practice, practice. Oh, it's not. I'm missing a slide, but okay. Oh, it's in your, I totally forgot. It's in that handout. Okay, so if you're looking at the handout that is in there, here's the thing. I want everybody to stand up. Stand up, stand up. So the handout has different pieces in it. We already missed some of the stuff we were going to do, but maybe we'll go back and do that. So the handout has these different ideas to help us bring down the fear. And when our reptilian brain kicks in, really the only way you can shut that beast down is to get back into your body. Okay? And so one of the ways that we can get back into our body is with breathing, right? And so here's what we're going to do. We're going to do 4-7-8 breathing. Anybody know this exercise? Any yoga people out there? Yeah, yeah. Okay, so I'll explain it, and then we're going to do it together. So for 4 seconds, we're going to close our lips, and we're going to breathe in through our nose. We're going to hold it for 7 seconds, and then we're going to breathe out for 8 seconds. Okay, you ready? And I'm not a yoga instructor. Laura is, but we'll see if we can do this together. Okay, you ready? So close our lips and breathe. Hold. 3, 5, 6, 7. Breathe out. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Let's do it one more time. Close our lips. Breathe in. 4, 3, 4. Hold. 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Breathe out. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Feel better already? Good. Okay. That is one way. When someone comes at you, says, "Hey, I've got some feedback for you." Okay? Take a big breath. All right. The other thing that we can do is actually what we learned is, like, heat or different things help us, like, get back into our ourselves. So, you know, we can rub our hands together like this. Now, someone might think that's a bit weird. So another option is you can just rub your fingertips together. No one will know. Just put them at your side and just rub. They can talk to you. You can just be sitting there rubbing your fingertips. Yes, thank you. Rub your fingertips. Okay? All right. The other thing that we can do is practice these types of things. Practice getting out of our head, because, you know, the way that we bring the fear down, the way that we get good at this, it's like creating a trail in the forest. The more we walk the trail, the better we get at it. So the more we practice. So Laura always says, "I want you to do groovy grooming." And this is hard to do. I've been trying to do this. So when you're getting ready in the morning, so let's imagine we're brushing our teeth. Here we go. We're brushing our teeth. Okay? We're not thinking about anything but our teeth. We're thinking about the brush on our teeth, where it is. Think about nothing. You're putting your mascara on. Very carefully. You're thinking about nothing but the mascara on your eyelash. Shaving. I see a few men, maybe a few women. Shaving. Right? So when you try it in the morning, when you're getting ready or at night, just if any of those habits, things you do every day, just try to think only of that thing you're doing, because that gets you out of that woo and just into your body. The last thing that we can do is just simply open up, right? So let's do the opposite of that. So what if someone comes to you like, every walk around is just like, right? All right, now open up. And when someone comes, just open your palms. Just feel them open, right? These are the types of things that we can do that help us get out of that reptilian brain and back into our wise brain and into our body. Okay, you can all sit down. All right, I actually want to walk. I want to go back and I want to show you guys this little video
I'm going the wrong way. Let's go way back. Sorry for this, but we will. I really want you guys to, oops. Oops. Is it going to play? Well, maybe we don't have everything working. Oh, wait. Well, there's supposed to be a video here. Oh, wait. Volume? Ready? 1 second. All right, we'll get to it. So here's what I'm going to do instead. I'm just going to move to the exercise that we skipped that we usually follow with this video. So I want you to think about one of your own feedback stories. It could be positive or negative. And in that handout, there's three questions that you would answer for yourself. Here's what I experienced. Here's what the emotions I felt. And here's what the sustainable impact, what the sort of ripple effect of that was. So take a minute and think about that. Now, what I want you to do is pick a person in your vicinity and share your story. And I'll make sure each of you have time. So the first person starts. So find somebody and share your feedback story. So again, questions are what you experienced, what the emotions were, and what the impact was. Okay. Oh, you're so thin. Okay, thank you so much. If you haven't already switched, switch storyteller.
So sorry, we are all sorted now.
Okay. I will try to play that video, and then I'm going to jump way up ahead. Okay. It's the one that says, hey, I've got some feedback for you. If you start there, then I'll click it, and the video will start. It's literally like the second slide or something.
Okay.
No, just leave it there, because then that's when the music will start. This is what happens every time we do this exercise. You can't get people to stop talking. If you want to start to change feedback in your own organizations for your own teams, just do that exercise. Just start talking about it. Just start getting it out on the table and then offer them a new definition and help and start the conversation. Because we all have either lovely stories to tell or unfortunately a lot of bad stories to tell. And so it's important to sort of clear the air to get those out before we can hit reset and fix feedback. So I did, apparently we've got this working, so I did want to show you the video. Maybe. Nope. Okay, I am not showing you the video. By the way, that's Laura in the picture that I keep referring to. She's my co-author, and she usually co-presents with me, so I'm feeling a little bit alone up here. And she's lovely, and I wish you had a chance to meet her. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to move to the later sections. And all these slides are out there and shareable, so all the stuff you heard me say that you didn't get to see, it's all out there where you guys can get to it. So here's what we want to do. We want to fix feedback. And we decided the only way that we can fix feedback is to start a movement, because we need to start it from the ground. We need a bunch of crazy bananas like all of us to go out there and fix this damn thing. So my question is, are you with us? Okay, come on. Are you with us?
Yes.
All right. We're going to start a movement to fix feedback. And here's how we're going to do it. We're going to reboot it. And I already talked to you about this. We're going to give it a new definition. We're going to wipe the slate clean. We're going to start fresh. And as I said before, if you're not out there giving feedback that is intended to help somebody improve, grow, or thrive, then why are you giving it? Don't think that that is feedback. We're then going to lay the foundation. And when we talk about the foundation, we talk about three roles for feedback: the seeker, the receiver, and the extender. And if we're doing this right, all of us will play all three roles all the time. The other big things about these roles is the extender is no longer the know-it-all, tell-it-all. The power no longer sits with the extender. Guess where the power sits? With the seeker. The way we're going to fix this, the way we're going to start our movement, is with seekers. The other thing that we're going to talk about for a foundation is this idea of connection and trust. What does connection have to do with fixing feedback? Absolutely everything. Because if we don't have connection, we don't have trust. I can't trust you unless I already have some kind of a relationship with you. Right? And so it's important that we build those relationships. And we've leaned into Dr. Gottman's research. Anyone know Dr. Gottman? He's a marriage counselor. Dr. Gottman figured out that within like 90 seconds or something, he can define if a marriage is going to survive or not. He can peg it with some like crazy amount of high probability. And what he figured out was the interactions between spouses, if they are positive 5-1, then that has a good chance of that marriage lasting. If they are not in that ratio, then there's trouble in those waters. And so what we figured out is we think this works in relationships, because don't you all kind of have a spouse at work, that person you work with all the time, the people that you are really kind of connected to? We need to have the same kind of positive relationship with them. And I'm not saying this is five things of positive feedback. I'm saying this is just simple connections. It's going to lunch and actually caring about what's happening in their lives. It's working a really hard project together and getting to understand each other's strengths and the way that we work. It's just stopping by the desk and saying, hey, how are you doing? Did your son graduate? Whatever it is, it's just creating these connections. So when we get to something needy, positive or negative, we've got trust there as a platform for that to build from. The other thing that we are doing is we are flying our movement under the flags of fairness, focus, and frequency. The three Fs: fairness, focus, and frequency. We need these three foundational ideas to fix feedback. Fairness is obviously about what I feel you're giving me is or offering is fair, that it's not biased, that it's without judgment, that it's well-intentioned. You can't have trust if you don't have fairness. You can't have fairness if you don't have trust. They kind of work together. Focus is a big idea with a little tiny bite. It's about how do we give people focus feedback. One thing, how do we bring it down and not load these big lists on people? And then frequency is like the grease in the gears. It's like if we start to do this more frequently, that continues to improve our learning, that continues to build our trust. It just gets everything really moving. So fairness, focus, and frequency. But for all you ladies in the room, I've got some bad news for you. Because when we look at research, we are not getting fair feedback. This was an evaluation of 248 performance reviews. And that they found in 248 performance reviews, women were far more negatively viewed than men. 71% to 2% negative feedback coming through performance reviews. Also, when we looked at the types of language, the way that women are described in these situations, that we tend to get a lot more subjective feedback, and where these words like aggressive and bossy, off-putting get used with us, where a man might be drive and intent and focused, right? So we get very different words as our labels. And oftentimes, if we're successful, well, she was really lucky. That really worked out for her. Right? Man's successful. Wow, he is killer, man. That dude, he can do anything. Right? So we are actually seeing a lot of difference in the type of feedback that comes through performance reviews. One of the many reasons I hate performance reviews and hope that we can someday put them to bed and never see them again. The other thing when we talk about focus, it's interesting, is that we tend to get really vague feedback. Women's feedback's very vague, and again, these sort of soft words that don't really tell us anything, where men are getting 2 and 3 times more descriptive words that are about business outcomes and the impact that they had. So, the thing is that these vague, if you have vague feedback, what that tends to result in is low ratings if you're still in a system that's rating. So unfortunately, all this is leading to women being rated lower than their male counterparts in this. Now, I think if we're going to fix this, there's a whole lot of things that we can do. But one of the things we can do as part of our movement is just take responsibility for it and start to push those people we're talking to give us frequent, focused, and fair feedback, and to ask them the right questions that get them there and to lead them to the place where they start to see the unconscious bias that maybe they're bringing to the table. And the good news is that if we can get them there and if we can increase the frequency of that, that is what is going to fix the gender bias. The frequency and the way that we can start having that conversation, we can fix it. So that's one of the things we want to take on as women in this movement. So the other thing we're going to do is we're going to adopt good practices. And so we're going to look at these based on our 3 roles. And I'd already talked about the seeker. The seeker is the most important role that we can play in fixing feedback. It is vitally important. Why do you think it's important? Open the door, yeah. It is huge as a trust generator. If we seek, we're starting to build that trust with the people that we seek it from, right? It is about connection. We're starting to connect. We're creating more ways that we're having conversations with those who we work with and those who are around us. It's about control. So if we want to fix this, particularly as women, if we're seeking, we're in control. We are asking what we want feedback for. We can ask for specifics. We can seek who we want it from and when we want it. Yeah. Oh, if you ask for... Yeah. So she's saying if you ask too much, people will consider you a weak person. Well, you don't want to drive somebody. Yeah, my Laura would say don't be an asshole, right? So you don't want to be asking so much that you're driving everybody crazy. Yeah, I agree with you. You have to try the right balance. But you also, if you are seeking, you're far more likely to take action on that. And that, again, is going to build trust because then people are going to see that you're actually attending to the feedback that they gave you. And then you're starting to build this whole idea of psychological safety, particularly if you're a leader and you're asking for feedback. You're starting to show this is a safe place. You can show up. You don't have to be perfect. You can admit to something you're working on. And that is the way that we can start to create true psychological safety. Now, we're not going to do this today, but one of the things I think I would really encourage you to do is in your handout is a little seeker survey. And what you can do is sit down and just answer these questions for yourself. This is about how you like to receive feedback. And once you've answered it, and if you want to go out and seek feedback from someone, start by just telling them that. Hey, I just want, you know, I'm working on this thing. I'm trying to start this movement. This crazy lady stood up and talked about all this stuff, and so I'm going to give it a try. And so, you know, the first thing I'm going to do is tell you how I like to receive feedback. So as we're working together, maybe you can help me with this. So answer these questions. And then if you're a leader and you want other people to engage in you, have them fill out this survey and tell them to come and tell you how they like to receive feedback so you can help them in that way. Because all of us have different sort of rhythms, we have different ways, we have different triggers, right? So the more that we're just open and transparent, the more effective this process can be. All right, kick some ass. So don't be an asshole, but kick some ass. And here's the thing that we think you should do here. Ask first, right? So let's say before this presentation, if I walked up to you and said, hey, during this presentation, you notice I walk too much. So tell me, you watch me, you tell me if I'm walking too much, would you please? So I'm asking first, so she knows what I'm looking for, and I made it a specific ask. I'm looking for this one thing. I'm not looking for how were my slides, or did you like my outfit, or you know anything like that. I have a very specific ask. So ask first and focus your ask. Ask more than one person, because the more times we start to ask other people, the more perspective we get, the better we can bring the bias and the judgment out of it, because we get different points of view, and we can start to triangulate that into something meaningful. And then this one's really hard. Ask for the good stuff. Ask for the good stuff because that's the stuff that's most meaningful. Has anybody taken Strengths Finders? Anybody in the strengths arena? All right, the research is super compelling that if we want to improve, the best thing we can do is lean into our strengths. The best thing we can do is more the good stuff we're doing. Well, we can't do it if we don't know what it is. And oftentimes we are completely blind because we just assume the good stuff we do. So ask for the good stuff. I know it's scary. I know you have to, you know, not feel like you're blah, blah, blah. You have to toot your own horn a little bit. It's okay. And then once you ask it, take it in and soak it in because that is where a lot of the power is. If you're a leader, leaders go first. If you want to change the culture of your organization, the best way you can do is start this movement yourself. And you don't have to start with the hard stuff. Start with talking about the projects or the work or the strategy you're doing. Start by getting your people sharing gratitude. Do different things that get the conversation flowing, the safety levels up within your organization. All right, let's talk about receivers. Savor the good stuff. I talked about this already, so I'm not going to spend a lot more time on it, but it's really important that we take that stuff in and we actually hold on to it. I was telling Celeste last night, I have a keeper folder in my inbox of like nice messages I've received over the years, and on a really bad day, I go and read it. I encourage you to do the same, whether you're a journal, you journal, whatever you do, write down the good stuff. And on those bad days, the days you're not feeling so good about yourself, go read it. You're a good person. You do good work. We need to remember that. So that little guy there is brainy, and we talk about brain, you know, the negative stuff sticks to us and the positive falls, but we need to turn into this happy brain where the positive stuff sticks to us and we let the negative stuff go. That's a key thing we're trying to go. This is one of my favorite things in the book. Feedback short, reflection long. So I've talked about how one little tiny bit, one little nugget can change your life. I told you my story. And then you have to reflect on that long. And in that story I told you, I talked about how I really kind of reflected on it. And I love this image because I want you to think of it like a lollipop, right? Somebody gives you something that is positive or something that maybe is even a little bit hard to take in, but you know there's some truth in it. Savor it. Think about it. Ask other people about it. Really take it in and spend some time with it because that's the stuff that will change your life. So feedback short, reflection long. And then this idea of progress, not punishment, right? Last night I had to talk myself out of punishment. We need to recognize the progress that we're making. We all will falter at some point. We learn from those falters. Everybody fails. But it's okay as long as we continue to move forward, as long as we are headed towards the future and that experience is going to help move us to that future. It's okay. Progress, not punishment. All right, so we're not going to do this reflection exercise, but in the handout there was a little reflection exercise, and it may be kind of like my sleep last night. Spend some time over this weekend think about something that you received at some point and decide what you're going to do with it. Decide if you're going to take it in and do something with it. If it was something that was hurtful or harmful, let it go, right? And that might be even writing it down, crumpling it up, and burning it up. Whatever you have to do, let it go. You will be better for it. So take the time this weekend to do a little receiver reflection. All right, so we're going to talk about the extenders. And if you walked out with one thing today, I would want you to walk out with this. Share the good stuff. We all think, so as leaders, they survey leaders, everybody thinks they do a lot of feedback. We know. None of us give each other enough feedback. We have this paradox. We all want more, but none of us share. Right? So we all need to be better at sharing the good stuff every day. Just be a witness to what's happening around you and reflect that back to the people you're working with. Okay? And then, if you're an extender, we also want you to kick some ass. But here's the thoughts for extender. First thing is, if you're getting ready to extend feedback to somebody, ask yourself, what's your intent? Check yourself before you wreck yourself. Why are you doing this? Is it because you're trying to prove something? Or are you really trying to help that person improve? And then again, ask first. Ask that person if it's okay if you share some feedback with them. Ask them when the right time and the right place would be. Right? And then when you get into it, just share what you've witnessed and then ask them their perspective on it. Did you see it the same way? Did you feel it the same way? How did you experience it? And that starts to move us into a conversation, and that conversation builds trust. Okay? So we talked about this prove to improve. We really want to be thinking about feedback that is helping somebody flip that switch or helping us flip the switch from prove to improve. Same thing as we've talked about. Bite size is the right size. We've got so much information rolling around in our brains, we can't process a whole long list of stuff. It doesn't do anybody good. The best thing you can do for somebody is just one thing. What's the one thing I want you to think about? What's the one thing I want you to take away? And this can work for receiving, too. Celeste talked about somebody who had got a 20-minute diatribe on something. And she said, what would you say to them? And I would say, I would turn to them and say, what's the one thing you want me to take away from that? Right? What's the one thing? And I think even in those reviews, if you're getting reviews that aren't great, you can ask that. What's the one thing you really want me to take away from this conversation? Okay? A quick conversation, right? I think that often when we think about feedback, we still think about this crazy process where someone comes into a room, we put a box of Kleenexes in the middle of the table, we get our big long list out, we talk about everything you've done well, and we talk about the long list you didn't do well, and you know, you leave and you're like, what was I supposed to take away from that? That does not help us. A quick conversation after a meeting, pulling somebody aside and saying, hey, I just really love the way you presented that data. It really helped everybody in the room understand what's important today. Right? That is the stuff that actually motivates people and changes our performance. So don't do this. Don't give somebody the shit sandwich. Sadly, a lot of us were trained on this. You know what I'm talking about? The little bit of I love you, your hair looks great today. Oh, by the way, that project sucked. Oh, and those shoes, not rocking, right? You do that, the person walks away, A, your trust level just fell through the floor, because what were you trying to do there? You know, it's just really bad, and unfortunately we were trying to do not do this. No shit sandwiches. It's really not tasty. In the book, we offer a really simple conversation model, CONNECT, which I can remember now what the C stands for. It's context. So if you're getting ready to share something with them, give them the context. Hey, when we were in that meeting the other day, this is what I noticed. Context can also include, why am I giving this to you? So it could also be, I know you're really working on your presentation skills, so I wanted to share this with you. Right, you're recognizing what you're trying to do to help them. One thing, are you so surprised by that? What's the one thing that I want you to take away from this? What did I notice about it? I noticed when you stood up, you really connected them to that data. No grit. It wasn't like, oh, Betty Lou told me that Bobby said that when you presented that, it was really great. No gossip, no rumor, triangulation, none of that stuff. That doesn't help anybody. It has to be eyewitnessed. Effect, what was the effect? You help people really connect to what's important today. Let's talk about it. Did you experience the same thing? How could we do more of that in the future? How could I get you in front of other people because I want you to have that impact? And then we have trust. Super simple model we can use. We can also use it as receivers. We can walk through the same process. And there's a bunch of examples in the book that help people look at how you can use this model to help improve what you're seeking, what you're receiving, and what you're extending. In the end, what the key thing with the extenders is, just the facts, ma'am. We are trying to get you to notice, not judge. Notice, not label, right? This is what I noticed. Your assumptions may be wrong in why someone showed up a certain way or what happened. Don't bring your assumptions to the table. Just share what you noticed. All right, so get noticing. In the book, we offer what we call the Fan 10, the fabulous art of noticing. And you can't read that. That's a lot of stuff on this slide. But here's the thing. We hope that everybody puts this, if you're part of our movement, you put this over your desk or in your car or wherever your place is, that you would see it frequently. And it helps us to remember how we do this right, how we get noticing, how we start to show up as a witness to the work around us and help those people that we support and help ourselves improve, grow, and thrive. So if you text the word feedback to that number, we will get you a copy of The Fine Art of Noticing so you can take it away. So the last thing we're going to do, if we're going to start this movement, we need to build an army of seekers. And that means I'm starting with all of you. And then you need to invite your friend that's sitting next to you, and then you need to invite the people back at work, and then they need to invite more people, and then pretty soon we can really truly build an army of seekers, because it has to start with some of us crazy bananas welcoming other people into this movement and starting a groundswell so people start to see what's happening and start to see the impact that it has and joins our movement. So we've walked through reboot, new definition, clearing the table, starting over, anchoring that in fairness, focus, and frequency, thinking about how we adopt good practices as seekers, extenders, and receivers, how we're going to start getting noticing. This is the simple thing, if you just leave with anything, is just become a witness, just become a noticer to what's happening, and share those in small bites, and then start to build that army of seekers. So here's my dream. I imagine this world where we can all show up authentically as who we are, all works in progress, because I don't think any of us are done, right? That we can create a safe environment where we can have feedback flow freely in the way that we've talked about it today, where we can help each other grow and thrive and laugh about it and just raise the trust and lower the fear, an environment that would be the perfect place to work. That is my hope. That is what I imagine, and I hope that all of you can join me in this movement. Thank you.
Wow. Thank you.
Yeah.
I think we have just a few minutes, maybe for a couple questions. I'm not going to take up one of those questions. I'll turn it to you guys. Does anybody have a question for our speaker?
Yeah. Yeah. So we get asked this a lot, and we've been doing more work on essentially upward feedback and how do we... So the first thing I would say is that if you are in an organization that you're trying to help those managers be better managers, the first thing is to start by training them on more of these concepts, right? So they can let go of some of the bad habits they have. They can learn that they're no longer the yeller, teller, seller, but they actually are an active member in this movement. But from that perspective, I think the important thing still is the same things. You have to build a connection, right? So if you're working for a manager and you have something that you think actually would really help them improve, first I would say just start building that connection, start building the trust. And then once you have the trust, I think then you can say, hey, you know, I have something I've been wanting to share with you, and let me know if there's a time when you and I could sit down and talk about it. But you have to kind of build that platform in which you can go. And but if you run right in there and they're not ready for that, that's probably not going to play out the way you want it.
Do you have any tools you use to get the people that you want to give feedback to seek your feedback?
Do I have tools to get the people you want to give feedback to seek? Well, I think the best way is for you to start, right? And for you to say to them, hey, I'm working, this is something I want to change, is the way that we all engage in feedback. Again, try to create that common definition. This is what I think about feedback should be for, why I'm using it. And here's one thing I'm seeking feedback on, right? And you could start there. And then I also think that seeker's tool, you could say, hey, I filled this out. Why don't you fill this out and think about how you like to receive feedback? Then maybe we can talk about that. So I think just having, again, building that connection and that trust and having the conversation before you kind of zing in there with something is the best way to go. It takes a little bit of time, but it's worth, go slow to go fast kind of thing.
You mentioned something really briefly about taking action.
Yeah. Yeah, so one of the things I didn't really talk about is if you're coaching, sorry. Oh, the question was, what do you do if someone isn't taking action? Like they're receiving feedback around the same thing over and over again, they're not taking action. One of the things I didn't talk about is you really want to, particularly if you're a manager or a leader, you want to understand what someone is trying to become or get to or what it is that's important to them, right? And I think once you understand what's important to them, so one of my favorite quotes in the book is it's their future, not your agenda. And so if it's their future and not your agenda, what is their future? And then as you're providing that feedback, hopefully it's aimed towards their future. And I think you just can speak to them about that. I'm trying to help you get here, and I'm seeing this thing is getting in your way of achieving your future. It's about them. It's not about you. And then I think, again, in the conversation part of it, it's like, well, what can I do? What can we be doing together to help you get past whatever that is to get to that future? So I think really being a partner in it and saying, all right, so let's talk about that today, and then let's regroup in a week, and let's see if we're making progress, right? And so really start to be their partner and kind of join arms with them to move it forward versus, hey, I'd really love you to see you fix this, and then you disappear. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the question is, what would you do if you have a remote employee and somebody's triangulating, they're bringing feedback to you? What I do is encourage that person to go and talk to them, because again, I don't think anything should be triangulation, and that's a lot of the problem with performance reviews too, is managers go and gather a bunch of information and they say, here's what people are saying. Great, that's really helpful. Right. So I would spend some time coaching that person of, well, how can I help you give that feedback directly to them? And maybe even try to get at the root of, is it really information that's going to help them or not, right? Because sometimes people just need to gripe, and you need to sort of let them air that, but then maybe that's not even the right stuff to be taking back. So I think it's really, but as much as we are horrible as humans of triangulation, right? We love to go tell the boss, you should go tell that person. And in the end, it doesn't help anybody. And it just creates more fear and reduces the trust.
We have time for one more question.
One more question. Yes.
So if a woman is getting 80% negative feedback.
Yes.
And if we keep negative feedback lower.
Yes.
Place, and if we are frequent seekers.
Yes.
Doesn't it actually empower men more?
No, that's a really good question. So we're in this systemic loop where we get more negative feedback, and if we ask for it more, are we just like making it worse for ourselves? Maybe. I hope not. I think the key thing is it becomes, you have to really become a very artful seeker. And so it is about, again, being specific in your ask, and then asking them questions that get them and you to the place that you want, right? So if they said, oh, I think you were really helpful, well, what about that was helpful? What kind of impact did it have? What was the effect it had? What do you think it was that I did that really helped that be successful? Like, start to get them processing it. Oh, well, you're really good at data analytics. And suddenly they start describing it in a way that's different. So I think we just have to sort of lead the horse. Because often that goodness may be there, they just don't understand the way that they're using their words.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.